Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Psalm chapter 1. Take your notes, if you would. Make sure you look at the front page of those. I've got a lot of scripture in there this evening. We're going to go very quickly tonight. I'm going to give you four steps for having a successful new year. How to have a happy new year. People will be saying that. People will be screaming it. Some people will be drunk while they're falling over saying that. There'll be all sorts of people saying Happy New Year, and some of them won't even know what they're talking about. If you do not have a copy of the notes, slip up your hand and we'll have someone bring those to you so that you can get a copy. There's one right up here that needs one. Psalm chapter 1. By the way, let me tell you what's going on Sunday. We're starting a new series, and that new series is called Transformed. You'll want to be here for that as we talk, as we begin going through Romans chapter 12 in a new series called Transformed. We're going to talk about transformed lives this coming Sunday. And then Sunday night, something very special. There is a movie that was released probably about 6 months ago in movie theaters, a Christian movie that came out. Wonderful, wonderful movie called War Room. And War Room is going to be shown here Sunday night at 5:30. We would encourage you to be here at 5:30 Sunday night. We'll be announcing this Sunday morning. But Sunday night, you will not want to miss this movie. It is dynamite. It'll challenge your heart. It'll challenge you about the matter of prayer. It'll challenge you in your Christian walk. It'll challenge you in the matter of your family. It'll challenge you just in a lot of different areas. I hope that you'll be here for this. If I was to ever write or produce a movie, this would be the movie that I want to produce. I tell you, this movie is just dynamite. I want to encourage you to come. I saw it, and I came back. I told my son, Matt, that it's the best movie I've ever seen in my life. It is just really dynamic. I wouldn't be showing it here on church on a Sunday night if I didn't think it would speak to your heart and challenge you. And so I encourage you to be here. It'll be entertaining. You'll laugh and you'll cry, but you'll be convicted by it. And I just hope that you'll come and be part of that. That's this coming Sunday night. Don't miss out on that. God has blessed in a wonderful way this past year. We've seen some wonderful, wonderful things take place in 2015. It's an amazing thing that the year has gone by just that quick. It's amazing that the older you get, it seems the quicker time flies. Just you go from one Christmas to the next, to the next, to the next. It's amazing what can be accomplished or what cannot be accomplished. Sometimes a year will go by and you'll think, man, I was going to do this and do this and do this and do this, and none of it got done. You can have a great new year. You can. We just in the last few weeks here at Liberty Baptist Church, we have seen some wonderful things take place. The Christmas experience, when we had close to 1,200 people or more on the campus, we couldn't actually get an accurate count, and we saw many, many people come and be introduced to the gospel. When we had our Christmas musical here, and 15 people trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Can you say amen to that? That is just an amazing, amazing thing that took place. It has been wonderful on our Christmas present Sunday, Christmas Sunday, to be able to take an offering of $24,000 to send to a children's home in Tlalpan, Mexico. That is a miracle. Can you say amen to that? I mean, it's been amazing to see just what God has done over the last several weeks. I was rehearsing with Pastor Matt and the staff the things that God has done and the things that we're looking forward to this next year. And Pastor Matt said, listen, we can't go through everything, because if you go through everything, it's just overwhelming. God has blessed in such a marvelous, marvelous way. I was looking at the count of people that have received Christ in the services this past Let me forget that. Just the people that have been baptized, just the people that have been baptized alone. There have been 77 people that have followed the Lord in believers' baptism this past year. It has been amazing to see what God has done. And hundreds of people in this service, in our services, have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So it's a great thing to be a part of what God is doing. Now, how can we have a happy new year? I'm not going to spend a lot of time this evening teaching. I want you to just follow along with me in the notes. In fact, all of the scriptures are written there in the notes. I hope you'll take a pen out and you'll follow along and you'll fill in the blanks on the areas that I think are important that I wanted you to fill in the blanks so that you would remember. Before we get started, let's pray and ask God to teach us. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for a wonderful year. Thank you for the privilege of pastoring this church. And thank you for the wonderful people that you've brought to this church who are interested in winning people to you and seeing people saved. We pray, Father, as we look at a new year, Father, and what's taking place in 2016, God, that you would just energize us to do even greater things this next year. Thank you for the privilege of being part of reaching this valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now reaching around the world through missions. And then, Father, allowing us in the last month to see the establishment of a Christian radio station whereby we are able to get this message, even tonight's message, out to the entire city of Las Vegas. And, Father, we pray that you'll promote that radio station. And, Father, let more and more people hear about it so that we can communicate good, solid Bible teaching. Thank you for the privilege of being part of that. Thank you for allowing us to see people week after week trusting you as Lord and Savior. And even tonight, watching some people being baptized into the membership of this church. We pray you'll continue to work and bring glory to yourself. We pray for your provision. God, teach us tonight, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. The word blessed that is used here in this passage of scriptures, actually the word blessed is used in two different ways in the scripture. One, the word blessed means to eulogize or to speak well of somebody. In fact, we get the word eulogy from the Greek word blessed. So blessed means to speak well. But in the sense that we're talking about tonight, it means to be happy. 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 So when we're looking at this word in Psalm chapter 1, it's not inappropriate to say, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And oftentimes when you see the word blessed again throughout Scripture, and we're going to look at several passages of Scripture that talk about being blessed, he's talking about being happy. So how can I be happy in the new year? Happiness, I really believe, is a choice. It's something that we, it's a choice that we make. First of all, from this passage of Scripture, number one, we get happy when we get wisdom from God daily. When we get wisdom from God daily. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Listen, you can do that every day. All you have to do is turn on the television set and you'll sit in the seat of the scornful. You'll listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You can turn on your iPad. You can turn on the iPhone and you'll hear all sorts of ungodly, scornful stuff over and over again. You spend too much time watching Fox News, you're going to get depressed. And Fox News, my favorite news. You're going to get depressed. You start listening to unsaved talk show hosts. You listen to enough commentary from the ungodly or the sinful or the scornful, and you will start molding your life based on what they tell you to do or not to do. And I'm telling you, the world is filled with advice. Our young people have it in the public schools. And we have it on every device that we carry around. If you carry an iPhone, if you carry any type of smartphone, man, there's advice just clicking at you all the time. You get advice off of Facebook. You get advice off of Twitter. You get advice off of all those other things that you can get advice off of. It's just thrown at you. The music world, our music system. I mean, you're walking through the stores and you're listening to the advice of the world, what to do and what not to do and how to treat people and how not to treat people and what you deserve and what you don't deserve and why you should have and why you shouldn't have. You're getting it all the time. You're getting told what to buy, what not to buy, why you should come to their particular store. It's all around us. It just surrounds us. God says, hey, don't walk in that counsel. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Let me give you some very simple things that you ought to do. Number one, every morning, read God's word. Before you start listening to somebody else, every morning, read God's word. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 said, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's very simple. The beginning of the book of Revelation tells us, read this, hear these things, and do these things. Now look at one of the last verses in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he, this is from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What's God telling us? When we come to the last book of the Bible, God says, listen, you need to read my word. You need to hear my word. And you need not just read it, not just hear it, but you need to do my word. I'm going to tell you this. You need to make a commitment to get in the Word of God every single day. Because I'm telling you this, if you don't make a commitment to do it, you won't. I'm telling you this, as a husband and wife, if you don't decide you're going to read the Bible together every day, you won't. As an individual, if you don't decide you're going to read the Word of God, you won't. Determine how much of the Word of God you're going to read every single day. It doesn't have to be large amounts. You don't have to read through the Bible in a year. You can if you want to. In a year, you can read through the Bible by reading 3 chapters a day. Very simply, you can read through the Bible twice in a year if you read 3 chapters in the morning and 4 chapters at night. You'll read through the Bible almost twice in a year. You can do that. Now you say, well, I'm not a heavy reader. Listen, I'm not either. I am very slow at reading the Bible. I am very slow at reading anything. That's why I run stop signs. Stop. And I'm gone. I'm a very slow reader. I really am. And in my profession, that's a tough thing. So what I've learned to do is listen to audiobooks. And I've learned to listen to the Bible. So that years ago, I used to get the Bible on audio cassette. Well, they don't make those anymore. And so I got them on CD. I got the Bible on CD. And then I found out you can get the Bible, whole Bible, on DVD for less than $20. And that's good. I think you can get it in our bookstore. I guess it's right at $25. You can get the entire Bible on DVD. And I'm not trying to sell DVDs this evening. I'm just telling you. And not only that, now on my iPhone, you can get the Bible on your phone on an app, and it'll read to you. And you can plug it in your ears as you're driving down the road instead of listening to Sean, and I like Sean Hannity, and instead of listening to Rush, and I like Rush. If you get the Bible, it won't cuss at you. It won't say bad words. It won't make you feel bad. It'll just encourage you. This year, I have read, watched, and listened to the Bible almost 4 times. By the end of tomorrow evening, I will be finished with the Bible 4 times this year. And you can too. I'm telling you, I'm a slow reader. You have to decide you're going to do that. Really, I'm telling you, you need to get into the Word of God. Why? because we get information from everybody else in the world about what's going on, and we get depressed about what's going on, and you think, oh no, the world's falling apart, and the foundations are being destroyed, and yet you get in the Word of God, and you find out that your God is still on the throne, and it's an encouraging, uplifting truth. God's given you His Word to encourage you day by day, so we need to be in it, and we need to allow Him to encourage us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Listen, I think the best time in the world to do it is in the morning. Get a little passage of Scripture and just read it every morning. Listen, you can do that by go out and get Days of Praise. They're out in the foyers, both of, just pick up Days of Praise and read that. One little page that big. Read it in the bathroom. Read it, put it by your nightstand. Don't read it while you're driving. But allow yourself to be fed the Word of God. It's so important. Every morning, read God's Word. Number two, every morning pray. The Bible says this in Psalm 34 and verse 8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in Him. God wants us to trust in Him. God wants us to trust in Him. Psalm 40 in verse 4 says this, Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Now, what is that saying? It's saying this, when you find a problem in your life, when you come across a circumstance in your life, when you have a need in your life, what we normally do is we call the bank, or we call our friend. Or we worry about it. We yell at our kids. We do all sorts of strange things when we are encountering problems. And the Bible says this. Look at this word. Again, it says, blessed or happy is the man that trusts in Him. Happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Why don't we, instead of going to everybody else and worrying and biting our fingernails and fretting about all sorts of things, why don't you go to God? Listen, God wants us to tell Him, number one, your needs. God wants you to tell Him your needs. God wants you to say, Lord, these are the things that I need. These are the things that I want. By the way, if you want it, it's not wrong to pray for it. If it's right for you to want it, then it's not right, wrong for you to pray for it. If you feel bad praying for something, then you better say, God, forgive me for coveting. God wants us to come to Him. If you have a need, go to Him and ask Him for it. Ask Him for everything. I pray every day, God, pay off my mortgage. Just totally pay off my mortgage. You say, you pray that every day? Yeah. One of these days, my mortgage is going to be paid off. And you know what? I'm going to know that God answered my prayer. I pray every day about some specific things that God will do. I pray for them every day. Some things I've been praying for 4 and 5 years, asking God every single day for the same thing. When are you going to stop praying for it? When I get it. Because God answers prayer. Pray, number two, for your family's needs. Pray for your family's needs every single day. You don't have to make a big, huge thing about this. What I'm telling you to do tonight, you can do in 10 minutes every morning. Number three, pray for your church's needs. We need you to pray for this church. We are a church body together, and there's so many things that we want to accomplish and so many things that God does, and I'm telling you, God answers prayer. God, we have a radio station now because God answers prayer. When people say it's impossible and you can't do that, we have a radio station that's reaching 3/4 of this valley because God answers prayer. Had a guy send me a letter about 2 weeks ago. He said, I see that you have an FM radio station. Would you like to buy an AM radio station? He told me he would sell me that AM radio station for about $750,000. I wanted to write back and say, we got ours for free. So you can have your radio station. The fact of the matter is, God is a God that hears and answers prayers. Pray for your nation. Pray for your nation. Pray that God will thwart terrorism. I'm telling you what, there has never been a time that I've ever seen a need, a greater need for prayer in a nation than we have right now. I mean, we are in a mess, folks. Our families are messed up. Our politics is messed up. Our businesses are messed up. We have a we don't know who you can trust and who you can't trust. And our nation, which was built on trusting one another, has a lack of trust, which is destroying this nation. It's amazing. You need to pray. You should be praying every day. God, stop the terrorists. God, stop the homosexual agenda. God, stop the abortions in our country. Because ultimately, he's in control of everything. You ought to be praying for our next president. Pray for Ted Cruz. Pray that he'll be the next president of the United States. You say, you can't say that. Yes, I can. See, I live in a nation that has a First Amendment that says I have freedom to say whatever I'd like to say. You say, well, they might get you. You might get in trouble for that. That's okay. Patrick Henry got in trouble for that. The founding fathers got in trouble for speaking the truth. Pray for our nation. Pray that God will thwart evil. In Luke chapter 18, now listen to me. In Luke chapter 18, there's a little old lady who goes to an unjust judge because she's being persecuted. A little old lady going to an unjust judge because she's being persecuted by somebody. And she says, would you please avenge me of my adversary? Would you please avenge me of my adversary? And the judge said, little old lady, leave me alone. I don't care about you. I don't care what anybody thinks. All I care about is myself. Leave me alone. But she continually begged him, do something about me. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. If you believe that America has adversaries today and Christians have adversaries today, would you say amen? Okay, you believe that. This little old lady went to an unjust judge, and God said, listen, this is what the unjust judge said. He said, though I don't care what men think, and I don't care what God thinks, I am sick and tired of hearing the little old lady. She keeps nagging me and nagging me and nagging me, and he avenged her of her enemies because of her perpetual nagging. God said, you need to come to him the same way and just say, God, protect me from my adversaries. Protect me from my adversaries. I want you to understand the devil is after your children. He's after your grandchildren. He's after your Christian brothers and sisters. He's after you. He's after this country. He's after this country because this country was founded on Christian principles. He's after the last remaining parts of this country. You ought to pray for Christian brothers and sisters. You ought to pray for the power of God to work and to thwart the enemy. You need to pray that, because when you pray that, God will hear and answer your prayer, and you need to keep praying it and keep praying it and keep praying it till God wipes out the terrorists. Pray for your president to get saved. Pray for his salvation. You need to do this. I'm telling you, we are in perilous times. We'll see that in just a minute. The Bible tells us we need to pray. Happy is the man that trusts God. And how do we prove that we trust God? We prove that we trust him by asking him. Every morning, confess your sin to God. Next, every morning, confess your sin to God. The Bible says, blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You may think, well, I can't go to God because I got all this sin in my life. Well, then confess your sin to God and you'll be happy. Confess your sin to God and you'll be happy. That's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If that's you saying, well, I don't think I do anything wrong, then you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says happy. If you want to be happy, then have your sins totally and completely forgiven. How do you do that? By confessing them to God. Just confess your sin to God every day. God, that bad feeling I have towards my husband, that bad feeling I have towards my wife, that those wicked thoughts that I have towards my neighbor, God, I confess those things as sin. Those covetous, jealous things, I confess those. Every morning, confess your sin to God. You see, the Bible says, happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You want a happy new year? Delight yourself every day in the Word of God. Get in His Word, pray, and confess your sin before God every day. Number two, that's your relationship with God. Number two, love your family every day. Love your family every day. Now look, I mean this. Just decide, I'm going to love your family. You know that love is a decision. It's something you decide to do. You love people. Love is not a feeling you have when you feel a feeling that only you feel. Now, that is not love. Love isn't somebody making you feel happy. Love is doing what is right. Love is treating that object of your love properly. Determine you're going to love your family when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Now, I'll give you some basic truths. Number one, kiss your wife. Kiss your wife. This will help you. Kiss your wife. Well, you say, she doesn't want to be kissed. She says, I smell like garlic. She said, I need to take a bath. She doesn't want to be kissed. I go to kiss her face. I go to kiss her lips, and she turns her head. Then kiss her head. She puts her hand up. Then kiss her hand. Kiss your wife. Kiss her. The Bible says this, let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That means kiss your wife. That's what it is in the Hebrew. Kiss your wife. You say, well, we're not doing so well. You'll do better if you'll kiss her. She doesn't want me to kiss her. Well, she'll feel better if you get around to it somehow. Kiss your wife. Let her know that you love her. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, kiss your wife. Number two, enjoy your children. Enjoy your children. Look at, let me go back to kiss your wife, because that's one of my favorite subjects. Let your fountains be blessed. Let your fountains be happy. Let your fountains be happy. Enjoy your children. Look what it says here. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is that man whose quiver, look at that word, happy is that man. Happy is that man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at his gate. Listen, enjoy your children. Enjoy your children. This morning I needed to have my notes typed, and April is off this week. I can't believe that my secretary would actually take off for a week. I mean, she thinks she's earned a vacation. We make her work like 80 or 90 hours a week, and she thinks that she should take off this week. She was off this week, and so I thought, I have to get something typed. And so my daughter, Charity, who used to be the secretary about 100 years ago here at the church, my daughter, Charity, she was going to be over at my house because she had a baby doctor at 12 o'clock, and she was going to be at my house at 9 o'clock, and I thought, there it is. There's my solution. I'll get her to type my lesson, just being the thoughtful person that I am. And so she came over, and she was holding Felicity, our brand-new baby granddaughter, and she was holding Felicity, and she said, well, Dad, if I'm going to type these notes, then you're going to have to hold Felicity. And you know what I thought? I'm too busy to hold Felicity. I've got stuff I got to get done. I'm giving you these notes so you can get this done so I can get some other stuff done. And then I thought, I'm preaching on this tonight. I better enjoy her. You know, I took her and I put her in my arms and I sat back, and she said, you know what? Charity said, she just likes to lay on your belly. And I said, well, I'm so skinny. The bones might hurt her. She said, just lay back on the rocking chair and let her lay in your belly. That would be the greatest. And you know what I did? I got in the rocking chair and I held her and I looked at her, and me and Felicity just bonded. She screamed in my face and I sang Winnie the Pooh to her. The fact of the matter is I just held her, and I probably held her for 45 minutes to an hour and just enjoyed the fact I'm here, I'm stuck, so I might as well just enjoy holding her. little Lincoln came up. Little Lincoln said, "Baby, I," and that was enjoyable. And then the other ones came up. You can endure life, or you can enjoy life. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." The Bible talks about mothers being joyful mothers of children, learning to enjoy them. You need to pray with your children on a daily basis. You need to have them in church. People wonder why their kids don't turn out right and they never have them in church. I'm telling you, you have your children in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you have them involved in everything that is church. You just get them involved in church. Let their friends be friends from church. Let them develop relationships within church. And I'm telling you, it'll bless your heart. It'll bless their life. It'll make you happy. It'll make them happy. And I know sometimes it's not easy. It really isn't. When you're raising children, you're bringing up children, and you're trying to get there. It's Wednesday night. You're trying to get there, and hey, and every chaotic thing takes place in order for you not to be there with your children. Why? Because the devil wants you to have a miserable time. Have them in church as often as possible, and then play with them as often as possible. Play with your kids. Have fun with your kids. I was going through Fry's the other day, Fry's Electronics, and went through the DVDs. They got DVDs that are just running out your ears at Fry's Electronics. And they got these old cartoons that you can buy like for $2.99 and they had an old cartoon of the Lone Ranger, like about 8 or 10 episodes. And so I thought, I'm buying that so Trey and I can watch that together. And so I put it on. Trey said, "I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that." I put it on, and he watched a whole episode, and he said, "Can we watch another one?" And I just wanted to do that. Then we sat down. I sat down with Trey and played Mario Kart, because I'm good at Mario Kart. I'm not good at a whole lot, but I am good at Mario Kart. And I can beat a 6-year-old at Mario Kart. I'm that good. And you say, "Well, aren't you a little merciful?" No, I am not at all. Because when they get to be 10, then they're not merciful to me at all. Jonathan can beat me. Ashlyn can beat me. And I think it's terrible. In fact, we're going to get to that part of honoring your mother and your father in just a minute. But play with them. Find out what they like to do and do it. Matt told me, he said, "Hey, I got a game for when the family gets together this week. I got a game, and it's just going to be a lot of fun." I thought about the family. Faith and John were coming back from North Carolina, driving across country, and they text and they said, "Hey, we found a really neat game that we can play with the family." Play with your kids. Enjoy love your wife, kiss your wife, enjoy your kids, play with your kids, and protect them. Protect them from this world's influence. Let me say this, so important. We need to protect our children. We have television, we have movies, they have friends, terrible influences on our kids today. We need to protect our children. Watch out for your children. When my kids were growing up, people said this. They said, "Do you pick your children's friends?" I said, "No. But if I don't like them, I unpick them." And I did. I'm going to make sure that my children aren't influenced by the wrong thing. You better be careful. Listen, parents, let me warn you, please. In 2016, be careful what you allow your children to watch. It's amazing. If your children said some of the things that they heard on TV out loud to you, you would be all over them. We allow our children to hear the word damn being used in the wrong way. We allow our children to go to movies and hear the word hell used in an improper way. We allow our children to hear all sorts of things, God's name used in an improper way. And then we wonder why they think certain things are okay. TVs, movies, friends can all have a real negative impact on your children. You better be careful about that. Protect them from this world's influence. Enjoy your children and protect them. Then the Bible tells us this in Ephesians talking about, we've talked about parents. Here's what the Bible says to children. And I would say that for children, all children, all the way until you're an adult and married yourself. It says to obey and honor your parents. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's right to obey your parents. And look what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's an amazing promise. The promise is that it may be well with you and that you might live long on the earth. I knew that was true with my father. If I didn't obey him, I wouldn't have lived long on the earth. My dad died when I was 10 years old, and I may not have made it to 11 if he had not gone to heaven before me. The fact of the matter is, in fact, my dad used to say, I said to my dad one time, and you've heard me say this, I said to my dad, I'd like to have an allowance. And he said, I'll give you an allowance. I said, what's that? He said, I'll allow you to live if you obey me. The thing is this. Children are to honor their parents. We are to honor our parents. We are to obey our parents. And there's a promise with that, that we'll live long and that we'll prosper. When we honor our parents, when we obey our parents, it brings God's blessing, God's happiness in our life. When we get to a point where we're adults and we don't have to obey our parents anymore, I'm married, I don't have to obey my parents, my parents are both dead, I'm still to honor them, speak well of them, not do things that would be dishonoring to their memory. The fact of the matter is, that's a lifelong commandment, honor, and you have the blessing of God. We're talking about having the blessing of God in the new year. It's very simple. All I have to do is, number one, love God, spend time with God, get wisdom from God every day, love my family and love them properly. And number three, live to serve others. I want you to read this passage with me in Luke chapter 12. It's in your notes. Live to serve others. In Luke chapter 12, verses, it's right there in your notes, so let me just read it. It says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Now, you understand what's happening? This guy, there's a master that owns a house, and he has many servants in the house, and the master's about to go away, and so he has his head servant in the house, and he says, look, it's your responsibility to take care of all the other servants in the home. That's the picture. So the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion in due season? Blessed is that servant, or happy is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and to drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint unto him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. How did he prepare himself? You prepare yourself by taking care of those that are put in your trust. Neither did according to his will shall it be beaten with many stripes, but he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, look, here's the picture. The picture is a man owns a house, and he's got a bunch of servants, and he's got a head servant, and the head servant's over all these servants. And that head servant's supposed to take the money that's been entrusted to him and take care of the needs of others. And the picture is you and me. that God has placed you in a position of authority. God has put you in a position where other people look up to you. God has put you in a position as a father in your home or a mother in your home. God has put you in a position where you're the older brother in a home. God has put you in a position where others look up to you. You better use that position in order to benefit them and care for them and love them. God didn't put you in a position so you could lord it over others. God put you in a position so you could serve other people with the things that He's given you to serve. God didn't give you what He's given you to hoard to yourself and keep to yourself. God gave to you. We need to remember that as Liberty Baptist Church. God didn't give us this building. God didn't give us this radio station. God didn't give us our Sunday school rooms. God didn't give us the automobiles that He's given to us. God didn't give us the material possessions He's given us so we could hold them to ourselves and say, look, we don't want any filthy, dirty, rotten people coming in and touching our property. He's given us this to reach them with the truth. Can you say amen to that? So we're to live to serve others. And if we live and we're willing to take that which God has given to us to reach out and touch others, then we're going to be happy. Happy is the servant. Happy is the church. Happy is the father. Happy is the mother. Happy is the son. Happy is the daughter who takes what God has given them and uses them to give to others. Everything we own belongs to God. We need to understand that. Use what God has given you to serve other people. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to take what He has given us and use it to minister to others. That I'm so thankful for what God has done here through you. What you have done for God in the last 6 weeks has been amazing. You fed over 100 families at Thanksgiving. You did that. That's what God wants us to do. One person in this church said, I'll take and cook 10 turkeys and feed them to 10 families. What a wonderful thing that is. I'll take what God has given me and I'll give it to others. I'll take the gifts God's given me and I'll use it to minister to others. You gave sacrificially, put your little red boxes in the big red box and gave $24,000 to children around in Talapa, Mexico, so the Becerra's Children's Home can continue to reach people in an unreached area. What a wonderful thing. God wants us to understand that everything we own belongs to God. We've used this building to reach the community and had a Sunday evening service and had the Christmas experience and people coming in hearing the truth of the gospel. What a wonderful thing. And you know, I didn't hear anybody saying, oh man, if we open the doors, all these people from the street are going to come in here. Look, we're going to get all dirty. Everything's going to... Nobody said that. I'm so thankful to pastor a church that has a heart that wants to reach out and touch people's lives. Psalms 41 and verse 1 says this, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. As we consider the needs of the poor, as we give to God's work, as we give to missions, the Bible tells us here in this passage that the Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. I want you to understand we live in times of trouble. We live in perilous times. And I want you to understand that if we continue to do what God wants us to do, and if we're living to serve, not living to get, if we're living to serve others, then I want you to understand that we're going to have the blessing of God in 2016. You're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. Then live for the eternal. Lastly, live for the eternal. Jeremiah was a man who lived in terrible times. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, God said this to Jeremiah, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That is, happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. That's an amazing thing, whose hope the Lord is. That's an amazing statement. And the reason it's amazing is if you read the context of Jeremiah chapter 17, you will see that God is telling Jeremiah, Israel has messed up. They're about to be judged. They're about to be condemned. They're going into Babylonian captivity. They are going to suffer my wrath. But he says to Jeremiah, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You've trusted in Jehovah, and whose hope is, or whose hope the Lord is. He's saying, look, even when all judgment is taking place, when everything's going on, I want you to understand, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply your needs. And Jeremiah was protected. He went through some trials, but Jeremiah's life was preserved, and Jeremiah was protected through that. So that when the Babylonians invaded Israel, they came to Jeremiah and they said to Jeremiah, you choose where you want to go. We're going to let you choose what to do with your life. God promises that he'll bless those who live for that which is eternal. Jeremiah was living, as I said, in terrible times. People were rebelling against the word of God. They were disobeying God, going their own way. And he was watching the collapse of his nation. But God said, I'm going to protect you. I think about that, and I thought about this in the last days of 2015. I thought, we live in perilous times. This year, we're going to face many personal and public tragedies. That's just the truth. You and I are going to face several different things. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I want you to understand, these are things that I really believe you're going to hear this year. Terrorists will continue to attack America. I think that's why we have to pray every day for God's protection. Because they're going to. People that are in the know say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But you know what? We have a God that can preserve and God can protect. Terrorists will continue to attack America. The homosexual movement will continue to propagate their agenda. People, number three, will continue to abort their children. That's going to happen by the millions. It has happened every year since 1973. There will be more problems on our college campuses because our college campuses have turned away from God. In the 1960s, they said, we don't need God. Schools at one time, like Harvard and Yale, that were dedicated to God are now bastions of immorality and godlessness. Disease will affect more people. It's just going to happen. As our nation walks farther and farther away from God, people will demand that government take care of them and expect that that's what government should do. People you know and that you love will wind up getting a divorce this year. 50% divorce rate in America. And that means you and I are not going to be untouched by that. What a horrible thing. You say, well, I don't want that. Well, I encourage you to come to the Family Life Conference. Allow God to speak to you through that. People you know will die this year. That's just reality. Death is a part of life. Maybe it's not somebody you know personally, but somebody you know of is going to die. Death is reality. People will experience financial difficulty this year. People will go through these types of trials. It's an amazing thing. You find people going through difficulties like that, and sometimes when people are going through difficulties like that, it strengthens them and you see the character. And then you find people who are really upset because people will say unkind things to you or about you. Somebody comes up and says, oh, I don't believe Sister So-and-so said this about me. Well, did you ask her about it? No, she told Sister So-and-so. And she told her, and she told her, and then she told me. People will say unkind things about you and to you this year. Somebody is going to forget your birthday this year. Somebody's not going to say happy birthday to you. These are things that we consider trials. We look at these things and we say, man, these are trials. I want to share with you this key to having a happy new year. The Bible tells us that we need to just endure trials. James chapter 1 says this. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The Bible, in fact, there's another passage, verse 20 says, I think it's verse 17 actually, that says, blessed is the man that endureth trials. Blessed, happy is the man that learns to endure trials. God wants us to learn to endure trials. There are people who face a trial and they just give up. They quit. Do you know that doctors will tell you that they can do nothing for you if you don't have the will to live? That you can determine, actually, it's over, I'm going to die. If you don't, your will, your determination, your attitude has a lot to do with your well-being. Some people face a trial and they say it's just over, there's no hope, there is nothing else I can do, I just want to quit. The Bible tells us you'll be blessed if you endure trials. Don't stumble at the way God works. In Matthew chapter 11, we're told the story of John the Baptist who was put in prison. John the Baptist, now listen, who Jesus said was the greatest prophet to ever live before him. Greatest prophet to ever live, according to the word, the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist to that point. Now listen, the Bible says this, that he was in prison, he was going through a trial, and in that trial, he started doubting. And he sends a messenger to Jesus. And that messenger comes to Jesus and he says, I got a question from John the Baptist. And Jesus said, what is it? He said, the question is this, are you the one or are we looking for somebody else? Now, remember John the Baptist when everything was going well and Jesus came to be baptized? And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He stood there with absolute confidence, and he declared, this is Jesus Christ. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the promised one. Now he's going through a trial. This great prophet, who Jesus esteems very highly, even at the end of this story, he says he's the greatest prophet that ever lived. The Bible says this. Jesus says in verse 11, he says, listen, John the Baptist is great. He says, listen, you tell him that I've done this, I've done this. He lists all the things that he's done. And then he says, and blessed is he, whoso, that is happy is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Hey, listen, God is working in your life. Don't get offended by the way he works and you'll be happy. God's doing something that you may not like. It may be a family difficulty. It may be a financial problem. It may be some physical ailment. And you're saying, God, why is this going on in my life? God, why are you doing this thing? You will be happy, Jesus says, if you'll not stumble when you're going through that trial. Just keep your eyes on him. And remember, you're here to love him. And you're here to represent him. And you're here to do what he wants you to do. You will be happy in 2016, if no matter what trial you face, no matter how much you hear about the terrorism, how much you hear about the homosexual agenda, how much you hear about the abortion, no matter how much you hear about the conspiracy to destroy our country, no matter how much you hear about the college campuses, no matter how much you hear about the disease, no matter what disease you face, no matter what demands are placed on you, no matter who forgets your birthday, if you'll say, God's doing this. I'm in jail right now because the master wants me in jail. And I'm not going to stumble because I'm going through a trial that I don't understand. The Bible says you can be happy in 2016 if you'll not be offended in what God is doing in your life. Just believe that he's doing it. Remember, lastly, that God's in control. And he will work it all out for good. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. So, the conclusion is this. You want to be happy in 2016? You want to have a happy new year? Get wisdom from God on a daily basis. Love your family every day. live to serve others, and live for the eternal. Because when you do, you'll have a happy new year. Let's pray. Father, help us to have a happy new year. Help us to take the truths that are here. Help us not to be conformed to this world or affected by this world. But help us to be transformed by your word. And Father, by living your word. Father, help us to take the truths that's here in this passage in Psalm chapter 1. God, that we will be happy if we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but we delight ourselves in your law. Help us to do that. And Father, be what you want us to be in 2016, which is happy. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.